find your way in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Isn't that fun? Find your way in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 2. Heavenly Father, we thank you today that Jesus is alive. Lord, we worship you. Lord, we serve the living God who's given us life. Lord, we serve you because you are true. You are the true God and the living God. Lord, I don't know what everybody else wants to worship, but we want to worship the true and living God. Lord, we believe in you and trust in you that Jesus, you are the Son of the living God. We pour out our lives to you, Lord, for you've poured out your life for us. Lord, you are holy. Make us holy. Teach us today by the Holy Spirit, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling, and my speech and my preaching were not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Just bringing this forth today, and again, very conversational manner for all of us, that God has given us a new life. I don't know how it was when you shared the gospel. I don't know, or received the gospel when it was shared with you. I certainly was not ready for it, but God knew I was ready. And I'm just coming to this conclusion today. I've entitled today, Revelation of Resurrection. It was not in my mind or my view to get saved. You need to understand that. I didn't even know I needed to be saved. And we come to this place of what this revelation of resurrection really is this began in the heart and mind of God. To read through your scriptures, and I remember looking at this, and 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3 says, this is the gospel, that Jesus Christ died according to the scriptures, and he rose again according to the scriptures. And I was reading my Bible, like, where are the Old Testament references of the resurrection? I would look at this, and I could see them for Isaiah 53. Certainly, Messiah's going to die. And I saw them, but where's this of the resurrection? And then, certainly I see that God himself will provide a sacrifice for sin with Abraham. What a revelation, again, of the Father, the first mention of love and worship, Genesis 22. What a revelation of the Holy Spirit that God had this, and then he had Abraham take his one and only son, whom you love. Again, this phrase, it's in there. And this was in the heart of God, the testimony of God. I love going to Israel and to Beersheba, and they've got this great, video. You basically walk in this video together as you walk with Abraham as he's walking up, taking his son Isaac up to be sacrificed. And you're walking with them as they go, and they still can't see that's God the Father bringing his one and only son to be the sacrifice for sin. Yet we walk in this because it's been revealed to us. That's all about Jesus. And as we walk through that, as believers, we're walking through this and like, that's Jesus. How can they not see this? And at the end, then they give this, Abraham is the father of three religions. And all this thing, they're just trying to have a worldly unity. But I stand before you here to declare the testimony of God. It was God's idea to bring forth salvation. Now, how would he accomplish this resurrection from the dead? Daniel talks about a resurrection from the dead in the end. Again, Jesus then says to his enemies, there's no sign going to be given unto you except the sign of Jonah, who was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the fish, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth or the belly of the earth. There's the resurrection. And then if you read carefully, again, as you think of this revelation of resurrection this morning, this is searched out by the Holy Spirit. None of us came to God and say, you should do it this way. Right? None of us had this idea that the resurrection from the dead, how would he accomplish it? When you look at it closer in Genesis 22, how it is that Abraham took his only son, then after God provides the sacrifice. In fact, the way it reads is the Lord will provide himself a sacrifice for sin, and then Isaac is taken down from the altar, and then the ram is offered up. You don't hear about Isaac again for three more days, so to speak. There's no more a mention of him. And even in there is the revelation of resurrection. I come to you this morning, it is described to this. When you got saved, it was not in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. Some of the testimonies, and maybe yours like mine, my testimony was, I couldn't believe my hand was up when the gospel was offered up. And again, I came under this convincing of the Holy Spirit that I needed to be saved from sin. And when the opportunity, who here would like to receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior, my hand went up and I was as surprised as everybody else in the room. I don't know if my family was surprised, but from that day forward, I know that I was saved by the power of God. It didn't come with wisdom. I don't even think the sharing of the gospel was that great. I sat across the table from Kelly at a coffee shop just talking about Jesus, and he's like, I'd be a fool right now to not get saved. I don't think he said fool, though. I don't remember what word he used. But this is the power of God. It there was nothing elaborate about our conversation that day, but it was the Spirit of God, by the power of God, bearing witness to this truth that we needed to be saved. 1 John 4:14. Here's the testimony of God. Listen to this. 1 John 4:14. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. That's revelation. You know, I grew up in a church that was not saved, but we had the same Easter service year after year. Same songs, same format, same scriptures, and it brought forth nothing. In fact, I'm not even sure if anybody really even thought twice about that. But I look at this testimony of God. The testimony of God is that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. And this is the record. 1 John 5:11. So 1 John 4:14, 1 John 5:11. This is the record. Sounds like a good testimony today. Here's the record, that God has given us eternal life and this life is in His Son. Now when I choose today's text, it's on purpose. These things don't come to you because you came to the wisdom of man and someone told you about them. Even as you hear about them, it has to come to you by the Spirit of God. That it's the Holy Spirit. This is the record that God has given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He that has the Son has life. He that has not the Son of God has not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. 1 Corinthians 2:6. Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect. Again, those that are mature. Yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to nothing, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Even in the way that God sent forth His Son into the world, He hid His Son, if you will, in plain clothes of a human man. Nothing about Him. Again, we might say average height, average weight, again, average in appearance. I mean, he clothed the Son of God in human form. There's nothing about Him that you would see Him, that you would look at Him and say, that's got to be the Son of God. See, we speak the wisdom among them that are mature. Not the wisdom of this world. The wisdom of this world says this. We've got something wonderful for you, and we're going to sell it to you. It comes at a high price. That's how you know how wonderful it is. You're going to pay for it, and then if you follow this, it's going to produce great things in your life. What does God do? God clothes His glory and majesty in this humblest of meekest forms, born in a barn. I mean, what a way to package and clothe the God of all glory and to put Him in human form and have Him enter in that way. The wisdom of God in a mystery, His hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world. And I love what Peter describes, how it was in the heart and mind of God to bring forth salvation through the Son of God even before the world was created. God knew what He was doing. It was in the heart and mind of God. Nobody knew it. Even the princes of this world, they didn't know. Verse 9. But as it is written, Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. Now, we're instructed later on in this chapter to compare spiritual with spiritual. So I'm going to start right now. You thought I hadn't started yet? I'm starting. Here it is. This new life that God has given you. This new life. I didn't know my life would be like this. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard. I did not know what it would be to be saved. I knew what I thought it was when I was backslidden and I was watching other Christians. Like, my word was, they are dorky. Now you get how worldly I was, and I was looking at them like, they have no fun. They don't do this. They don't do that. And all I could look at was like, oh, they do things strange and they're weird. And again, maybe that's okay. As it is written, eye has not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. I had no idea what this new life was like. No idea what it was going to look like. And it never came into my mind of just how wonderful it was on this phrase, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. So you read, and again, think of the welcome verses today, and think, I am the resurrection and the life. And again, that reference, and Martha's like, yes, he'll rise again in the last day. The Lord says, no, now. See, and all this deadness that I grew up in for Easter services, they talk about the resurrection as, again, it meant nothing to me because I wasn't born again. The Spirit of God had not revealed anything to me, and so I didn't have the new life. So for me, hiding eggs, Easter eggs, and Easter bunnies. And I almost ran the Easter bunny over today on the way over. My wife said, watch out for the bunnies. I'm like, well, maybe it wouldn't be a bad thing to run over the Easter bunny today. Can't believe you said that. But I just want you to see and know that God has revealed unto you what this new life is to be. This new life. My old life. I still have the shadow and memory of it. I carried around this body of sin. I clearly know all the stuff I did, but that life is crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live by in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Before, right, I did not know what God had prepared for this new life, but he's revealed them unto us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. Now, I love this wonderful truth of the searching of the Spirit of God. There's no place to get away from him. Now, I wanted to get away from him for a while. Why don't you just leave me alone? No, I can't do that. And then I say, Lord, why can't you be closer to me? See, he knows. And as he searches this out by his Holy Spirit and reveals him unto us, here's my life verse. You can look at it with me. I stand up openly, boldly with you and just say, hey, this is your pastor, right? This is what I have been aiming for to please God for the last 20 years of my life, this new life, what's been revealed unto me in Christ Jesus, is that I'm not waiting for the resurrection, right? I'm not waiting till I die to have this life of Christ. I have it now. This is everything I'm sharing with you today. This is how the Spirit searches this out for each and every one of us, that in God's Son, you have the resurrection life now. Here's my life verse, Philippians 3, 10 and 11. I guess it would be life verses then, wouldn't it? Here are my life verses, not my life verse. Philippians 3, 10. That I may know him. That I may know him. It's reality. Right? And when I think of the Spirit searching the deep things of God and making them known to us, it is the Spirit. For what man knows the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. If I am to know God, right? If I am to know Jesus, it will be as the Spirit reveals him to me, that I may know him. That's my pursuit. I want to know God. I want to know him. I don't want to know things about him. I want to know him. And the power of his resurrection. So here's my life verse. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. See, having that resurrection power now and that newness of life, I have it now to live, not to go through life trying to sin, but to go through life being free from sin. The resurrection power of God. I don't want to sin anymore. Right? And I read that verse, like I want to know him, and I want to know the power of his resurrection. That phrase, fellowship of his sufferings, it always goes to this, Lord, teach us the cross. Teach me the cross. I understand very clearly the cross is the instrument of which Jesus Christ died in this world to sin. I should too. Right? I will too. Again, you catch this power of this resurrection life that God reveals by his Spirit and puts the word into our lives and searches these things out. I didn't know this. I didn't know this is how I was going to live my life. When my hand went up when I was 17 years of age and it was offered up to me to be saved from my sin, all I was in for was, forgive me, Lord. Forgive my sin. All I was signing up for was, I'm a sinner, need to be saved. That's all I knew. And all I could tell how I knew that is because the Spirit convinced me of sin, righteousness, and judgment all in one day. Now, I had no idea what, again, back to the top of verse 9 here, right? This section, the things which God has prepared for them that love him. The things that God has prepared. If you would have told me at 17 when I got saved that I would be pastoring a church, I would say, you're crazy. You still might be crazy, but I would have said that to you. There's no way. I love this truth. God has revealed it unto me by his Spirit. I didn't know this. I didn't think of this. One of the guys I worked with years ago when I worked at Bethany Homes, Bethany Retirement Living, not a place to go and die. Do you ever realize what the world does? Bethany Retirement Living. And yet, we know this truth, right? We all know this. We're all going to die. When I was working there, one of the guys like, did you always want to be a pastor growing up? I just started laughing right in his face. No, you're kidding me. Now, I just want to lay this forth for you. Do you have this personal relationship with God by the Holy Spirit where the Spirit searches the deep things of God and makes them known to you? God has revealed them to us by his Spirit. The calling, the giftings, right? Furthermore, the work that he desires to do. The callings and giftings that he gives to his people. The cross, the teaching of how through the sufferings and denying ourselves and taking up that cross, how to live dead to sin and alive to God. God has revealed them to us by his Spirit. I had a lot of fun the last couple days. I got onto this idea. I've been keeping my notes digitally since 2015, my prayer closet notes. And that means they're retrievable and searchable. So I'm not flipping through all these books looking for, what year was that? What month? When was that? So I can search through these things. I'm going to tell you what I found. 7 years ago, the last 2 days, so exactly 7 years ago, so you think of March 29th, 30th, and 31st, God reveals these things by his Spirit. Here's what I found out. We were in Afterglow, and I have it in my notes, and in Afterglow, the Holy Spirit gave us 2 Timothy 3:14. John, that verse mean anything to you? What verse is that? That was the theme for? Yeah. Continue, right? Continue thou in the things you have learned and been assured of, knowing who you've received them from. 3:14. And then that same night, 7 years ago, right? Then we had the consider your ways from the book of Haggai. In the same afterglow, 7 years ago, and now we as a church have been bearing fruit of something the Holy Spirit sowed in one night. And if you think about what this all has meant concerning this was what we began back in October, and it began with the women at the women's retreat. And again, I was just saying to everybody, if there ever was a women's retreat to miss, this would not be the one. I'm just saying, get there. And it was, consider your ways. I'm laying this out. We've done it. Some considered their ways and said what? I don't want the new life. I don't want the Word of God. I want to keep in my own ways. Others said what? I want it all. Lord, reveal it by your Spirit. And we came into this great work that the Lord had prepared for the men current at the men's conference. And it was it's a work of holiness going on in our lives. But I'm just going to reveal this to you. God saw this exactly 7 years ahead of what we now stand up now and can say, that was the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God revealed that. Now, I'll give you another one. Helping a pastor out who was taking sabbatical to have surgery a year ago and down to Rapid City and just again praying. And I had a different week planned and then they got switched because somebody else needed a week. And so then I switched my weeks and went down there and we show up. And on that service that we're there, all of a sudden Elijah's in the room. Haven't seen him for 2 years. He's been running away from God for that time period, right? Fair to say, right? And all of a sudden, he's right before me. I'm like, Lord, how do you prepare things like this? Now, all I'm saying to us as we lay this forth is this. If you thought it was in the heart and mind of the great planning of the people who make decisions here that they really have this great plan on how to build church, you'd be absolutely wrong. Our Lord said to us, right, very clearly, he says, on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. What's that rock? He says, that's your banner. Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. I looked that up the last few days, and one of the brothers was talking to me about a flag and what that meant when you go to war, and if the flag, one who's carrying the flag is killed, another will drop his weapon and pick up the flag. The flag's more important than the weapon. As we're gathering, and you think about this truth, it's like, this is, and the earliest one I could track back was 2016 on September 7th that the Lord put all this together to me. And said, well, here's our banner, and it's been revealed to us by the Spirit that this is what we are to do, is that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And I'm just going to stand up here and go on record that both your women's ministry leader and men's ministry leader hear from God and hear the Holy Spirit. And form together, what are we doing? Is it because they have great ideas? Okay? And I'm going to present before you, this is what we're all now walking in together, and each one of you get to decide. Is this the Spirit of God? Are we alive? So when I came back in 2013 from the Calvary Chapel Senior Pastors Conference from the East Coast, and I came back, and the Lord had told me that we were the church of Sardis and that we were dead. Now, I didn't come back and tell everybody right away. But what I did come back and do is I started doing the five things that the Spirit of God said for me to do. And I handed out the person and work of the Holy Spirit to everyone because the Holy Spirit told me to. Okay? We started doing afterglows every Sunday night because the Holy Spirit told me to. We started praying. We got the church praying because the Holy Spirit told me to. Now, I'm just going to lay this out. The only one that I know I can truly trust is the Holy Spirit. This is not about voting, right? It's not about wisdom of man. It's not about getting great ideas off the internet. It's not about doing what somebody else did elsewhere. God has revealed them to us by His Holy Spirit. By His Spirit. So let's wrap this up today. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God. We had a young gal come one time early on. We were still meeting in the hotel. And she had been watching The Spirit of the Age. Again, I won't give you the video it was, but she says, well, what is this? And I watched it for her, and I gave it back. I said, that's not the Holy Spirit. That's Antichrist. This is already 20 years ago, the stuff that was being produced, the spirit of the age. We don't follow the spirit of the world. Now, going forward, this is our church. We're going to be spirit-led in all ministry. No ministry is on life support. That's still part of the instruction I came back with in 2013. We're not going to do something just to do it. And if we have to keep it on life support to make it happen, it's dead. See, if you have someone laying in a bed and they're on a breathing machine and you're beating their heart, it's dead. That we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. And this is what I lay out for us. Now, the things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches. The Holy Ghost wants to teach you. Holy Ghost wants to teach you. But He's not going to compete with you for the spirit of the world. You actually have to turn off the spirit of the world and open up your Bible and listen to what the Spirit of God says to you. The things the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Now I'm comparing this today in my life. I'm comparing my old life with the new life. I'm comparing now, in 10 years ago, 20 years ago, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. And I am fully convinced today that God has set before us an open door and that we're no longer Sardis, but we are the Church of Philadelphia. Everybody wants to be. Right? Everyone who reads those seven letters to the seven churches wants to say, we're Philadelphia. I'm here to say, as I compare spiritual things with spiritual, the things that we're no longer Sardis. Right? Again, the word to Sardis was to repent of your dead works. Right? You have a few there that have not defiled their garments. Again, those instructions, we followed all those. And what was set before the Church of Philadelphia was, and just comparing it, He says, I set before you an open door. So the Lord has set before us an open door. The Spirit taught us to have an outdoor service on March 31st. And look at today. Is it going to happen? Yes. Easily. Easily. Right? Weather's nothing. I've been instructing all the men yesterday. I'm like, hey, they tailgate in really bad weather for their getting drunk and their parties for their worship of their football events. Here we are going to shine the light brightly and an open door. And you know what the Lord described to us? He says that through an open door by the Spirit. The Spirit taught us this. He says that door, you want that door open for the gospel. So that door goes two ways. He says, give. Give. We're going to give today through an open door that God has set before us. And these are the things the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. The natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. Some will look at us and say, well, that wasn't anything. But for us who are watching this, we're like, the Holy Spirit taught us, the Holy Spirit did this. So I expect today that through the giving of the clothing closet, of the corn dog and cheese curd stand, and through the giving of the care kits, again, you got the toys in there, you got prayer, you have the giving of the gospel. You know what I expect? That through that open door, salvation is going to come. He that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. What I'm setting before you is this. The Holy Spirit has taught us, and He has compelled us as we come to today that He is alive. I have compared it all out. Okay? Never saw Him. I didn't get to have Thomas's experience, but you remember Thomas's words when he saw the Lord, and he says, my Lord and my God. Thomas fully convinced that Jesus is alive. Again, to me, this is the important part. If Jesus is dead, we should be pitied what we're doing. Then we should just go to the tailgating parties. But He's alive. and I'm fully convinced he's alive, and he gave all to us, so we give all to him. Because I've checked about this old life versus the new life, and again, some people live their Christian experience where they're like, oh, I just got to get to heaven. Quite the opposite for me. It's like, I'm saved. Now, when I backslid for 10 years and I made it back, it's like, I'm not going that way again. I'm here and I want to serve the Lord. And that's what's formed here. Everybody I called up when I started telling about outdoor service on Resurrection Sunday, will you do this? Yes, I'll do it. Will you do that? Yes, I'll do it. There wasn't a single no. There was nobody that said, oh, that you can't do that. Because you know what else the Holy Spirit had showed us and taught us? That the scoffing and mocking voice is to be cast out. Do you know what? He has to cast out the scoffing and mocking voice in every one of us. But this is by the Spirit of God. So what do I ask of you today? I ask of you, right, to let the Holy Spirit reveal to you the work that he's prepared beforehand. And we're going to walk in that today. So as I stand up, I'm pray for me that the Ephesians 6:19, that I would speak forth the utterance that God wants me to say and speak boldly and declare this gospel. That's what I ask of you. As I compare spiritual with spiritual things, I'd say Christ has risen from the dead and he become the first fruits of them that slept. It's like you look at that whole thing. It's like, not only, right, am I anticipating the future resurrection, my whole thing with us is we're alive now. Pretty sure Elijah's glad that I showed up in Rapid City. Isn't that crazy? It's crazy. You look at this whole thing, it's like by the Spirit of God. And every one of you have this, what the Spirit did. Matt and Emily, I'm pretty sure you're glad you made it here to church. Right? Lee, glad you made it here. Kathy, I remember you in Israel, outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon you. Never experienced anything like that before. Right? One right after another. I just set before you today, it's Jesus in our lives. He's alive. And not only did he save you, get this, he wants to live in you, and he wants to be powerful in you, and he wants to work, again, through your lives to bring this to others. So don't be surprised when you want to dwell together with the Holy God that his fire cleanses you. Don't be surprised about that work. Every one of us needs that holiness of God within. You're convicted by the things you want to do, then the Holy Spirit says that's sin, and you're getting that cleansed, and it's like a fire burning holiness within. But I remind you, that same fire that burns holiness within is the same fire that consumes sin. And I don't know if you've looked around, but I've looked around, and this city is being overtaken by sin. But the word to us is, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. So Father in heaven, we thank you today that Jesus is alive forevermore. We thank you, Lord, that we are a church that is alive. We ask now the living power of the Holy Spirit of God that raised Jesus from the dead, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead would be at work in us who believe you. Lord, we ask today that as we walk with you, as we fellowship, as we praise you and glorify you and talk of you, we ask, Lord, that you would bring forth revival to this city. That the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, that same power of God would be at work in us who believe. And from us, Lord, would not come just a trickle of Holy Spirit life, but there would be a torrent of Holy Spirit living water flowing from the bellies of each and every one of us at Calvary Chapel. Lord, unto this reviving of a city, Lord, your people, your church, wherever they may be, that today they would be revived under this truth, that it is the Holy Spirit that brings forth the life of Christ, the living God. Jesus, come and live in us and live through us, and may your Spirit, Lord, come upon us today, and may we go forth in boldness to preach Christ, to give, and Lord, to see people saved. Lord, this is your work that you have prepared, and we trust in that. Lord, what a resurrection Sunday to go forth in the resurrection power and to declare to others this power of God. Lord, we as a church need your Holy Spirit. Every one of us in here, not a scoffing voice, not a mocking voice. Lord, if we're doing nothing and we're dead, we don't need anything. But we're going forth to preach to a city that's dying and going to hell without you. So we ask of you now to give us the Holy Spirit to proclaim this gospel of Jesus Christ one-on-one. Lord, I pray that there's great salvation today amongst the children that come. Lord, I pray Lord, even if one comes, that one would come to get saved. Lord, if 1,000 come, that they would come to get saved. We just ask your Holy Spirit today, Lord, to perfect us just as our Father in heaven is perfect. Just ask your Spirit today in Jesus' name. Amen.